Romans chapter 8, verse 18-25 for us. And then after that, I'm going to hand it over to Dan to come and help us to understand what this passage is about. Over to you, Ryan.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Let me just say again what a tremendous privilege it is to join you guys for today's service. Happy Easter to everyone. How about I just ask God to be with us during this time? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great hope that we have, and we've just been instructed in your word to wait for it to come to completion. Wait patiently. We pray that you'll help us now to understand what is this hope and what it means for our lives today. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Every era has a sign of the times, a symbol, an action, something that represents a time period. So, for example, you do this, right? What's that? Everyone knows, right? You do this and you're like, okay, yeah, that's the 70s. That is a sign of the times. We all look at that and we all know what it is, the disco era. Well, the 2020s have just gotten started. And honestly, we don't have much time to really work out what the sign of our times is now. We're only 4 months into a new decade. However, I have an idea, okay? I have a proposal. I want you to tell me what you think of it. Here is what I think is a good sign of our times. Ready? That is what I think is a good sign of our times. You see, this is how messed up life has become in 2020. We have actually been told by our authorities not to touch our own faces. Well, then what better sign of the times can there be for the age that we live in? We live in the age of COVID-19, and this is how twisted life has become in the last few weeks. At no other point in my entire life have I ever been so self-conscious about touching my own face. At no other point in my entire life have I ever washed my hands so obsessively. At no other point in my entire life have I had to walk around public pretending I was in a giant 1.5 meter invisible bubble shield keeping me from getting close to other people. What are the signs for you that existence is out of whack? Is it the empty toilet paper shelves at Woolies and Kohl's? Is it the fact that our public parks are closed and the playgrounds all have police tape around them? Is it the fact that you can get fined if you leave the house without a good reason to? Or is it the fact that we're celebrating Easter together as tiny boxes on a computer screen? It goes without saying that things are not right in our world today. The death rate is climbing. Fear and uncertainty is in our atmosphere. It's in the very air we breathe. Our doctors and our hospital workers are fighting a fierce battle against a deadly disease that spreads worse than a bushfire. We're living in such terror that we literally cannot leave our homes without risking our lives and the lives of others. So here's the thing. What's going on right now maybe feels so insanely far outside the bound of what we consider normal, that we can't help but to expect that things will return to normal sooner or later, because we think that this can't possibly go on like this. Surely at some point, we just get back to the way things were before the pandemic, like a month or two ago. Well, our passage today tells us something different. Our passage tells us that this is normal. And as Christians, the way that our world is right now is what we've been told to expect in this age. But it goes further. It tells us that the way the world is normal, but temporary. This won't last forever, and in fact, global history is moving towards something great and wonderful. This Easter, I have two things to say to you from the scriptures. This is normal, not for long. And the reason we know this to be true is because what we are celebrating today, what we are remembering on Easter, it is because Jesus is alive, that tomb is empty, and Jesus has risen from the grave. So let's look at our Bible passage today. We're going to have the scriptures up on your screen next to my face. But if you'd like, you can follow along on your own Bible. If you don't own a Bible, you can go to actually access one for free on BibleGateway.org. And you can read it there, Romans chapter 8. Now in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us a broad truth about the world that we live in. He says in verse 20, creation was subject to frustration, not by its choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Now, what does it mean that creation is subject to frustration? Well, the next verse clarifies it for us. In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. See, when Paul says creation, he means the whole world with us in it. He says currently creation is under frustration because it is under bondage to decay. What does bondage to decay mean? It means creation is ruled by disease, death, and destruction. Bondage. We are slaves to decay. Now, there's one helpful thing that the COVID-19 virus has done for us. It's revealed just how fragile life is in our world. It's made plain for all of us to see. It's unmistakable that disease is everywhere. It's shown us that life is ruled by sickness. I can't get in my head how vulnerable it makes me feel when I think about just how contagious this virus is, how easy it is to transmit this virus. You know, you scratch your nose and then touch your phone, and then I borrow your phone and I scratch my nose, and just like that, I've got what you've got. How can you escape it? How can you avoid it? It's in the air. This is all air. If this is carrying disease, how much more obvious can it get then that our world is sick? While creation is under bondage to decay, humankind cannot flourish. While creation is subject to frustration, we cannot thrive. God created the world for humans to have dominion over. It was our duty to rule, but in our present time, creation and humanity are in open conflict. Just as sinful humans are in rebellion against God, nature is in rebellion against us. You know, for the last couple of hundred years in our society, in Western society, there's been this assumption. I don't know if you feel this way, but the assumption is that as long as we keep making advances in science and technology, we will soon master the universe and bend nature to our will. As we learn through science and technology about the world around us, we can eliminate disease, we can stop bushfires and floods and earthquakes from killing us and destroying our stuff and ruining our society. We can make food grow in abundance and eliminate scarcity and defeat world hunger. You know how that saying goes that Australians have, what's it called, tall poppy seed syndrome? You know, anytime someone gets up too high, we chop them down. Well, nothing, none of us compared to the destructive power of nature. Every time humanity gets a little too cocky, we think we can control our environment, we know what's going on, a terrible reckoning comes along. A terrible fire comes along that we can't stop. A disease comes along that we can't run from. We can't master creation because creation is subject to decay. And because of that, this is normal. We should expect more decay. We should expect infection. We should expect suffering. Now, I know that so far everything sounds dark, but the truth is, in our passage, Paul is not seeking to bring us down, but actually to lift us up with hope. Because in verse 18, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul acknowledges the suffering we face in the present. Now, he doesn't make light of it. He doesn't diminish our experience. But he does say that compared to what's in store for us next, it will seem light. He says it's not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. He says what's coming next will make what's happening now all worth it. Now, what's the most comforting thing you can say to someone who is experiencing agonizing pain? How do you comfort someone who's going through suffering? Well, you can say, let me take away your pain, right? But you can say that, but it doesn't take away the pain that he's already gone through. The most comforting thing you can say to someone who is in pain is, it's worth it. It means something, what you're going through. It's leading towards something great. My friend wanted to lose some weight. And so I told him, all right, come along for a run with me sometime. So it was a little while back, Wednesday afternoon, we meet at the Bay Run in Drummoyne. You know, Drummoyne, Five Dock area where the Birkenhead Point Outland Mall is. It's a 6.8 kilometer track around this gorgeous bay. It was a perfect cloudless day, 18 degrees, give or take, with a slight breeze, and the sunlight danced beautifully on top of the glistening water. I was having a great time. I was having a blast. My friend was not. By the second kilometer, he's wheezing. His head is soaked in sweat. I can hear his heart pounding next to me. He's standing next to me, and I can hear his heart beating. He looks like he wants to cry. He's not running anymore. He's not jogging. He's shuffling. He's in agony. He's dying. What can I tell him to comfort him at this point? Well, I can say, okay, all right, let's call it here. Let me take away your pain. Let's stop here. You don't have to run anymore. But then what? He's still overweight. He still won't fit into his groomsman pants for the wedding that he's got coming up in a few months. And all that pain that he's gone through just now, it'll be for nothing. But what if I say to him, keep going. Keep going. It's leading to something glorious. It's going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it. What if I tell him that this is happening to you for a reason? It's building towards something tremendous and wonderful. What if I tell him that his present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in him? What if I gave meaning and purpose to his suffering? The scriptures tell us that our present suffering has meaning and purpose because it is leading somewhere. We have in store for us something so beautiful, so glorious, that it can make sense of today. It can make sense of even this pandemic, this global crisis. Today, suffering is normal. Today, the world is out of order, but not for long. Not for long. Suffering will not be the final word. This is where the Easter story helps us to make sense of the story that we're living in right now. On Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, when Jesus was in the world, just as the world is experiencing right now, Jesus also experienced bondage to decay. He suffered. He died. And for a weekend, his corpse rotted. So far, all just normal stuff. But on a Sunday, just like today, Jesus experienced something that you and I have not yet. Jesus went ahead, left us behind. He experienced something that we have in store for our future, something that's going to make all our suffering worthwhile. Because on a Sunday, just like today, he broke free from the mortal constraints that we and the rest of nature are still under. He went ahead of us. He overcame death. He was made new. He died in dishonor. He was raised in glory and power. He rose from the grave and broke free from that bondage to sin and death and decay and disease and destruction. On Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus has already gone through what we are all going to get to have one day. We celebrate that he's gone ahead of us. And if you want to know where you're going, you can look to where he went. He's given us a vision of cosmic renewal that's in store for all of God's children and all of God's creation. So I hope you see that what we have here is an opportunity to gain some perspective on our lives today, because we are looking at the current crisis by looking at it through the lens of biblical history. And it's, I'm not trying to make light of your pain or your discomfort. And in no way does God diminish the tragedy that we're experiencing. So many people have died. So many more are sick and fighting for their lives. And here's the bad news. Those of us who make it through this, well, we haven't made it out of the woods. We're soon going to be experiencing an economic calamity like the world has never experienced before. But despite all this, what we have here is hope, real hope, because of Easter. Because of Easter, our future glory will outweigh our present suffering. And so now, what do? We wait. We wait patiently. What's a good metaphor for the waiting and the hoping that we're experiencing now? Well, actually, Paul gives us one here in verse 22. He says, "We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." He says this waiting, this frustration that the world is experiencing is like childbirth. Now, the thing is that there are three things that are true for every childbirth. Firstly, it is unimaginably painful. Secondly, it is temporary. And thirdly, it results in something so beautiful that it'll make all that labor worth it. That's what childbirth is like. In verse 23, we're told that we and creation have something in common. Just as creation is groaning, so are we. We are both groaning. Verse 23 says, "Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." We and the rest of creation are in the same boat. We groan because we are in pain. Sometimes it's agonizing pain, pain that might feel unbearable, but it's temporary. It won't be for long. It won't be forever. And at the end of it, we will experience something unimaginably beautiful, something so great so as to make this present experience worthwhile. We will share in the same blessings that Jesus received when he rose from the grave, a full adoption to sonship and the redemption of our bodies, the completion of our resurrection bodies. For me, the hardest thing about home isolation is the waiting. Now, I have to admit, I'm actually kind of embarrassed to say this, that like a week ago, I wasn't even looking forward to Easter this year. I didn't even remember until like a few days ago that I didn't have to go to work on Friday. This is the least excited that I've been in a while for a public holiday because, you know, like the way we're currently living, what's the point of having a day off? You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. There's nothing to do. So why even bother? I might as well just go to work. This year, Easter might seem like a wasted holiday, but what if it was actually the exact event that we needed right now? What if the Easter message is the one that we actually need to hear more than ever? The pandemic has cast a shadow of fear and anxiety and uncertainty over a world in a way that honestly that I have never witnessed before in my entire life. This is completeness of it. Like the entire world is being terrorized by the same exact thing. Not even during 9/11 did things feel this dark. But today, we are reminded of the powerful ray of light that comes shining out of the tomb. Because he rose, we have not long to go now. Because he is alive, we have nothing to fear. And because he reigns, we know that we will reign with him. You know, we started off with the question, what is the sign of our times, didn't we? What do we look to remind us of the era that we live in? Let me tell you what, the real sign of our times is the empty tomb. Because the empty tomb tells us everything that we need to know about the age that we live in. And it also tells us about the age that is to come. It tells us that even though salvation is not yet complete, we have it as an unshakable hope. Can't be taken away from us. So then, let me ask, what shall we do then, my friends? Well, firstly, be comforted and strengthened by the resurrection. Have faith. And ask God to strengthen your faith. God is our loving Father. He knows what we need right now, and he gives it to us. He knows we need assurance, and he gives it to us in Jesus. So firstly, be comforted. Secondly, live today in freedom, not in fear. Live like you know what's coming, like you don't fear your future. Do you know what people do when they fear their future? They hoard. They buy more toilet paper than they need. Sometimes they buy more toilet paper than they can actually use for the rest of their lives. You know why? Because they don't know what tomorrow has in store. So the most logical thing they can do now is hoard. Store it up. Empty the shelves of pasta and hand sanitizer and hand lotion, all that stuff, because you don't know what's coming and you don't know if you might need it. Christians know what's coming. Christians know what's in store. And look, I'm not saying you shouldn't make sure your family has enough. So by all means, if you're down to one roll, go get another pack. But we do have, Christians are in a unique position to be generous when everyone else is living fearfully. Christians alone are equipped to live generously when everyone else is panicking. Christians alone have the tools they need to love others freely, give sacrificially, give even when it's costly. And when you find it hard, look to the sign of the times. Look to the empty tomb and be comforted. Be comforted. Live in freedom, not in fear. And lastly, comfort and strengthen others with the hope that you have. If there's one of the good thing the coronavirus has done for us, it has awakened us Christians from our sleep, from our stupor, because it has renewed our sense of urgency for the gospel to go out. Because if Jesus' resurrection is the only sure hope for anyone in this world, then everyone needs to hear it. So we all need to preach the gospel with urgency and conviction. Preach it without fear. Preach it with boldness. Preach it knowing that your friends need to hear it, because your friends are looking for the comfort that you have. Preach the gospel as a comfort to them. Let me finish with this. At the end of this chapter, Paul summarizes for us the assurance that we have because Jesus is risen. And he puts it better than I can. So I'm just going to read for us these last three verses from Romans chapter 8. He says this: "No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Let me hand it back to Ying.
Thanks, Daniel. That's a great message. And the big take-home point was perspective. Because the danger with when you face a crisis, the crisis can actually overwhelm you and you cannot see things clearly. But Daniel's reminded us that we need perspective. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to spend a moment in prayer, right? Because what we need to do is commit the things which Daniel has raised to our attention and reminded us to God in prayer. And we're going to ask, two of our members, Annabelle from FY, our youth ministry, and also Tony Pang from our 915 congregation, to actually be committing the things that we've heard about to God in prayer. Annabelle's going to be praying for our community, that we will be reminded of the important things about what Easter's all about, encourage each other. And Tony's going to be praying that we'll be able to spread this good news to others, to the world around us. So Annabelle, I'm going to hand it to you, and then Tony. Annabelle.
Hi, I'm Annabelle. I'm in year 8 and I go to FY. Join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we could all be able to gather here today to celebrate Easter Sunday, even if it's on Zoom. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and that he could rise up again 3 days later. I pray for our church community and that we can all have hope in Jesus because he has risen and is returning to restore everything. Please help us to help each other focus on the hope we have in Christ. instead of on the horrors of our world right now. Help us to look to the hope of Christ because he has risen and is returning to restore everything. Please help us not to be scared of the coronavirus pandemic, but instead look towards Christ because he is risen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
English service. This morning, I will be praying for the spread of this good news. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, during this Easter, we want to reflect on what you have done for us on the cross and your goodness to us. We thank you for fulfilling your promise that our Lord Jesus Christ must die on the cross for the sins of this world, and he would rise again on the third day, and now he is sitting at your right hand. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing us to be your people. Nothing that we have in us is good enough to be your child, but it is by your grace that we are saved. Lord, as your church, we want to carry out your great commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything you have commanded. Lord, we pray that you will encourage all your churches around the world to do likewise. We pray you will put in our hearts and remind us to consciously and urgently go to our neighborhood and to support our missionaries in other parts of the world to preach the gospel and to share Christ's love. Lord, we pray that you will encourage us to spend more time on your word, in prayers, and with other believers to help support each other in our walk with you. Lord, may you encourage us to ask your Holy Spirit to be active in our lives so that we can grow in Christ's likeness and to live our lives that will be pleasing to you alone. Lord, we know that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We pray you will help us to finish diligently our earthly journey that you have mapped out for us, and that we have carried out your great commission obediently. We pray all this in the precious name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I will hand over to Milka to lead us in song.
Hey guys, with this next song, let's continue to hold on to the hope we have in Jesus. Because of Jesus' suffering and his triumph over death, we can labor on through our current sufferings and yet still be able to rejoice and sing that we are free. So let's follow him day by day, and let's wait eagerly for the day our Lord will bring us home.
My joy, my righteousness.
Thanks, Mika. Thanks, Bianca. Thanks, Dan, for reminding us what Easter's all about. Well, when you think about it, the world is facing a crisis. The world is pretty messed up. And it's easy to allow that to become the symbol of 2020. But as Dan reminded us, the real symbol should be the empty tomb. And what the empty tomb does is it gives us a perspective in life. The empty tomb is the good news that has been spreading for thousands of years from generation to generation. It's the good news that's been spreading around from thousands to thousands of communities around the world, transforming lives. And if you want to hear more about this good news, then I actually want to invite you to continue to join with us every Sunday next week onwards. And we are going to be reverting back to our normal Sunday service programs, our 9 o'clock English service or 11:15 or 4 p.m., whatever time suits you. Of course, you know, if we have friends and relatives who prefer Cantonese and Mandarin, we have our sort of Cantonese service at 9:15, our Mandarin service at 11:15. We had Annabelle from FY, and we want to also share that good news to the young people. So we have FY that we'll start in a few weeks' time. You can come check out on our website. And of course, we also have our Sunday school program. But if you're new here, well, one thing we want to do, we want to keep in contact with you. If this is your first time, please fill in, go to that tiny URL or get your phone and scan that thing, because we really want to keep in contact with you and we want to keep you updated about what's going on in our church, right? For that reason, next slide. For those regular members, if you haven't done so already, we want you to subscribe to Church News, because it's very important to keep updated with what's going on in our church. You know, one of the things about the good news is we want to make sure that this good news goes to the world. We don't want to keep this good news to our saints. We actually want to make sure that more and more people hear the good news. For that reason, we want you to actually partner with us financially if you want to. If you believe that this good news is so good that you don't want to keep it contained, but you want to get this message out far and wide to the rest of the world, then we actually want you to become financial partners with us, to ensure that this good news keeps going on. And how do you do that? Well, we want to move everything towards direct debit. Again, you just get your phone, take a picture of that scan the QR code, or you've got the sort of the URL down the bottom there, right? But lastly, what are we all about? Well, remember our vision is being one community. We might not be able to meet physically, but we still meet online. We're a community where we are keep growing in Christ, serving in love, and we want to be a community that reaching the world. But as I said, although we can't meet physically, we still can meet online. In a moment, after we formally finish our service, we're going to actually give you the opportunity to join our breakout groups, right? Just to touch base with each other. Ask how each other's coming along, what sort of things have you been doing, what sort of things you've been challenged with, what sort of new things you're trying to do, right? This is an opportunity to catch up with each other. But if you feel that you've got other things that you need to do, that's perfectly fine, right? It's an opportunity. It's not saying that you have to join it, but we would invite you to come and join our breakout groups. They're going to go for 10 minutes. Afterwards, we're going to come back to the main group. But as I said, if you feel that you can't, you'd like to, but you can't, that's perfectly fine. Just say goodbye. But join us again next Sunday. Before we wrap up, I'm going to close us off in prayer. So let's bow our heads and close in prayer. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, both now and forever. Amen. Again, if you'd like to stay around for our breakout groups, please do so. If you've got to go, that's fine. We hope to see you again, same platform, next week on Sunday. You take care.